portions all the time. It's too many big portions are too big, folks.
You should move to another country because we are really the outliers when it comes to portions.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how they do it in, like, I don't know, like, you know, some European countries, right?
Literally, still, the entire Mediterranean.
Well, you know what's insane is that just part of it, obviously, is, you know, subsidized bad food and the rise of fast food and corn syrup. But you know what a big part of it is? This is literally true. Plates have gotten bigger.
Plate sizes, yeah.
We've made plates bigger than they used to be, so you need more food to make it look full. That's something that simple and low-key technological change makes your brain be like, I need to eat a third more than I would have.
It's a conspiracy from big ceramics.
When you get down to it, like, very, very simple, like, visual tricks completely change our behavior.
Well, one thing that's good
is rhesus monkeys.
Every meal leaves something on the plate, but it just seems wasteful.
Yeah, people don't want to do that. Only decadent ingrates do that. So you need smaller plates.
So how are you dying, Virgil?
I'm not dying. I just, when I wake up in the morning, my heart is beating very quickly and often sweating. And this is if I don't, you know, I go to sleep late. I just do. And this is if I get like 4 or 5 hours of sleep and I've got to be up at like 10 or 9 or something. And you know, obviously the abdominal issues, digestive issues at that time too.
How much nicotine do you consume?
I don't know. It's
ooh,
variable.
See, there
the
we go. That's
throw,
a real
throw it
that's
off.
A real
they
element.
Do well, one Juul pod is supposed to be approximately a pack of cigarettes.
How many pods you go
you
through a day?
Litter those things like the witch from the old Mary Melody cartoons. Yeah. Litters hairpins.
They're like they're like magazines, gun magazines at the end of the John Wick.
I'd say it depends on the day, but anywhere from half a pack to a pack.
Oh, I mean, nicotine affects your digestion.
That's true. Yeah, it affects your heart rate as well. I consider it a net positive, though.
Why is it a net positive?
Well, they are making...
He makes his hair lustrous and shiny. has a thick, thick mane and coat.
Nicotine staves off Alzheimer's.
They
yeah,
do say that.
That's true.
Really?
But the thing is, it's like everything has... I don't believe anything about anything anymore when it comes to that stuff. That's right.
I believe that like cancer is bad for you.
I don't believe in truth.
I've got some basics that I stick by.
I mean, just yeah, but like, what gives you cancer, or what protects you against cancer, or what gives you heart disease, or what protects you against it? Often, it's the same thing, or it changes.
Well, the thing is, what Americans don't get is that it's moderation. And so what they want is the thing that they're not supposed to eat and the thing that they are supposed to eat. They don't have you need like kind of a balanced, maybe have a little bit of this someday and don't overindulge.
No, you got to have an 100% turmeric diet if you want to live forever.
Yeah, well, there's the thing about kale. People were finding out, they're like, oh, don't eat kale anymore. It will kill you. And then they looked at like the amount of kale you would have to eat for it to have whatever toxic effect is so high, but you know that some American ate that much kale, and yeah. Now they have
oh,
to
oh, no,
bring
as soon as you for hear sure. Kale's good for you, they're just going to the Pizza Hut salad bar and eating the garnishing.
Well, the poison is in the dose.
By the way, that's one of my favorite bits of trivia, is that until the 1990s, the top purchaser of kale in the United States was Pizza Hut, but they used it to garnish
a
the
golf
edges
ball
size, of their
I worked
salad
at a steakhouse
bowl,
in Indiana,
bar.
And a golf ball-sized chunk of kale. Was
they would just staple it next to the next to the dishes.
We thought it was pretty.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, it's like a little cabbage row. But it was kale, and no one would even have ever conceived of eating it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what we were talking about, the lobsters in the early 20th century. Where they were like basically given to prisoners.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was considered cruel to feed somebody lobster all the time.
Giant, disgusting undersea bug.
Yeah. To be fair, they're gross, but they taste good. They don't look like they would.
I couldn't handle looking in the little faces of the crabs we were eating in Baltimore.
I was fine with the crabs. I didn't like any of their other organs.
Oh yeah.
The parts that we didn't eat.
They're monsters. I like looking at them while I eat them. It's just, I feel superior to them. I'm glad they're dead. They're just insects to me. I don't like insects. They're alien creatures.
I think that's the way to do it. It's just revel in how xenomorphic they are, how unlike anything you recognize as like a creature would be.
You're eating some Geiger-esque monster.
Yeah, this it came out of a meteor.
I mean, I'm fine with it. I enjoyed
the Earth by crushing it with this hammer.
Yeah, I enjoyed the whole hammer action of the hammer crack of rules. The crabs. That felt very atavistic and primitive. It's borderline sexual.
You know. I just realized what makes crabs one of the best foods, especially the blue crabs where you bust open the bodies, is that they gamify dinner.
Yeah.
Because when you are going through a carcass of one of those crabs and you find another little nugget of meat, like you pull a leg off and there's a little hidden bit of meat, that's exciting. It's like you won the lottery.
It's a power up.
Yeah, but when I get to their
finding a legendary
heart
weapon.
And lungs or whatever, it's like I leveled down.
Oh, yeah, that stuff.
No,
like
that
when
stuff
I, when I see it.
But that's why it's
when
a game.
I see it, it makes me sad.
It's like, what score am I going to
so
get
gross.
On this particular crab carcass?
That lady.
You know, what am I going to leave behind versus what am I going to get that I didn't want?
That lady who had to teach us how to eat crabs because we were being crab idiots, we should have asked her to stick around the table and score our crab consumption.
So we were really crab done.
Yeah.
We were thrown out like half the crab.
At first.
Then we went through the bucket of half-eaten crabs and ate the second half.
If you go out to eat, demand that your server score you. They have to do it. That's the law.
Yes. Whenever I pass in my plate at the end, I'm like, can you just give me a little report on this?
And if they say no, if they refuse to stand at your table and monitor your consumption and award you all points arbitrarily, ask to see the manager.
Yes.
Yeah. Demand to see the manager.
Demand that they're demoted.
And when the manager comes, say, sir, I demand points.
Where is Mr. Hardwick when I need him to distribute points?
Hey, everybody, it's us, and we are back in New York for a day, about to leave for Philadelphia on our tour. The tour continues. The tour will never end.
A never-ending tour, baby. Bob Dylan.
Life is just one big tour, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You go to different cities and drink, and that's about it.
And then you die.
Yeah, then you die. That's all. Yeah. That's all
there
is.
You get to do some karaoke in some of them.
Yeah, but you get to go to places like their local aquarium.
Yes.
Ooh.
Which was that's my favorite part of Baltimore.
You get to see different parts of the world.
Yeah,
you get to experience.
Our East Coast tour, we just got back from D.C. and Baltimore.
Trash. Wonderful.
And we are about to go to Philadelphia, sold
both
out.
Trash and wonderful. Yeah.
Portland, Maine, Boston, Massachusetts, Hamden, Connecticut, Providence, Rhode Island, or something called Pawtucket.
Pawtucket,
it's all,
baby.
It's all the same. Rhode Island's just one big place. It's
every city is three hoagie shops away from another city.
Every city is Providence. It's just all called Providence. Yeah. And finally,
that's the technical name, by the way, of the state.
Providence Plantations.
Yes,
Rhode Island and Providence Plantations.
Yeah. Correct.
I think they changed that.
No, they tried to and then failed.
How did it fail?
Because people said it's just a description of the type of land it was. It doesn't mean anything about the state.
You're just screwing around with cartographers.
They should name
this
state Providence, etc.
The smallest state has the longest name.
Yeah,
I think
because they said the plantation was racist and it went down. I think if they had added to it, it's also dumb to have a big, stupid, long name like this.
Yeah.
It's pretentious. You sound like one of those Westminster dogs, the real names. It's like, his name's Buddy, but his real name is like Cheshire Wings of Gold or whatever the fuck.
Rhode Island doesn't deserve two words. I'm sorry. No, you deserve to be in Ohio. Four letters for the tiniest state.
Yeah.
Ohio deserves a long name. It's a big
It's
large.
Misleading
it's
the whole island
state.
Thing. It's bullshit.
And then finally ending our two shows right here in Brooklyn, New York.
Triumphant returns.
That's this week. Tickets are available at chapeltraphouse.com/tour. And as well, we just announced Midwest tour dates. Next month, we will
be... This is going to be epic. This is the homecoming.
Okay, this is epic. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
This is the one I'm going to die on.
Yo, we're all dying.
Ohio, Detroit, Michigan, Chicago, Illinois, Madison, Wisconsin. Finally, Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's next month. Tickets are available on the same website, chapeltraphouse.com/tour. That's going to be fun.
That's going to be the tour where I am found dead face down in a plate of cheese curds. That's happening.
Also, folks, we love it when you reply to the tour dates and say, how come I don't see my city listed here? We love that. Never stop doing that. Especially if your city is a place that we've just been to a few months ago. That's my favorite one.
Everybody,
how come you guys never come to Los Angeles?
Everybody reply to every Virgil post with Chapo come to Brazil.
Yes. Okay, I don't know what that means. Is that why people are doing that?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's throwing off our statistics here, because now when we're booking these,
we're gonna get booked at some show at Sao Paulo Yuck Hut, and no one's going to show up.
No one's going to show up. Terrible.
We are going to do more tours, so keep your knickers on, everybody.
And we want to do a Europe tour.
Oh, yes. That's an ambitious 2019 plan.
Mostly English-speaking Europe, anyway.
Yeah, that's an ambitious 2019 plan.
Holy shit, I had Buckfest for the first time at that party.
What is that?
Okay, so apparently it's brewed by monks. It's Four Loco brewed by monks.
Oh yes. Yeah. I know what you're talking
about. Monk
Loco. Yeah. Scottish crazy wine.
How was
that? Yeah, it's fight juice.
Yes.
How was that?
It tasted like cough syrup.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. I like that.
I only had a bit, but I was extremely excitable. And then we were in my, a bunch of girls were in my crawl space. A lot of them were from Philadelphia. And so they were all giving their Philadelphia Catholic school who's in trouble right now stories. And I'm pretty sure we made a pregnancy pact. It's a really fun liquor. It's a really fun liquor.
Isn't it crazy that when you're a kid, and, like, cough syrup is gross, like, ew. And then, then you're an adult and you're just like drinking bottle after bottle of it every single day.
Yeah.
No, but we
have to go to Scotland just to like load up on Buckfast.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't get any. I want to try it.
I need Buckfast. I didn't know I needed it. I need it.
Just caffeine and booze. It's just... apparently, the bottles are like the number one assault weapon in Scotland.
Until then, I'm just going to put Robitussin in my coffee. It's fine.
If you outlaw Buckfast, only outlaws will have Buckfast.
So we did. We were in D.C. for 2 days, and then right after that, Baltimore for 2 days. And I don't remember anything about D.C. because Baltimore
was so great. We stayed indoors. It was 900 degrees. We just buckled down.
Oh, we saw a Wonk. I remember that.
We saw Wonk walking
spotted
the streets
one in the
of
wild.
D.C. Yes.
Yeah, we
yes.
saw Wonk, and he was doing the Virgin Walk.
He was doing the Virgin Walk.
Like,
Virgin
if you
Chad
took a picture,
meme.
If we had taken a picture of him from the angle or a vehicle, it would have mapped onto the Virgin from the meme. Exactly.
It's the most virgin town in the world. It's the opposite of the District of Chads. It is absurd. And no, but we had fun. We played at like a legendary, apparently, rock punk
the 930 Club.
Which plenty of great bands have played. Boz Scaggs at one point.
That's the one you remember? That's the one Matt remembers.
Lido Shuffle.
Bare Naked
Minor
Ladies.
Who?
Yeah, no. Exactly. Ween, presumably.
Probably.
Yeah. So
all the greats.
Cake.
Legendary.
So the show went great. We had fun with folks afterwards.
So sold out.
But yeah, no, we had more fun. We had a day in Baltimore to enjoy ourselves after the show.
Oh, that was great.
That's where we ate a bunch, all the crab, and just absorbed all those precious heavy metals your body requires. And then went to the aquarium. The nationally
renowned. Oh my God.
Aquarium,
and the Baltimore
otherwise
Aquarium.
Otherwise known as a fish jail.
The Baltimore Aquarium
okay,
knows
Johnny's
Baltimoreans. Like they understand them because they sell wine at the Baltimore Aquarium.
Yes.
And we were asking because there's beer in the cafeteria and we're like, can we walk around with a beer? And she's like, no open containers. And I was like, what about wine? And she said, no open containers. So we brought around this terrible little bottle of wine. And watched jellyfish on edibles, and it was just really the most pleasant thing.
So here's a wild thing to me: in parts of it, you're just like standing over a tank that's like right there, and you can just touch it. And
we pet some.
And I mean, that's probably why you can't bring an open container around because people are just like one for me,
getting
one for
the,
you,
getting the sharks drunk.
Yeah, which obviously I wanted to do.
Yes, in addition to a touching tank, they should have a drinking tank.
Mm.
But we got to pet jellyfish and pet the skates in the rays, and that was nice.
As Amber pointed out, the jellyfish were sending all the kids at the aquarium into a very bad trip.
No, I think it's one of those things where you take a kid that's like too young to see the wall.
Yes.
Like, they were very Stedman-esque kind of creatures, and kids were not prepared for them. They were screaming. Yes. They were literally screaming.
Well, they're
in the jelly tank.
They were frankly harshing my vibe.
Yeah.
Jellyfish don't move in a way that seems natural if you're a young
yeah.
person.
Well, and I got to say, the people who organized this exhibit, when they weren't trying to guilt us about fucking climate change.
Oh, God.
I know.
So
too much,
preachy.
Too much. They understood that you needed to play like prog rock over the jellyfish. So that was being piped in while we were very high and slightly drunk and watching the jellyfish. It was the perfect jellyfish watching conditions.
And even outside the aquarium, just in like the general harbor zone, as you approached, you realized that they were kind of piping in like ambient new age music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like kind of whale sounds made it by was a great. Synthesizer.
It was great. It was they know why people zone. Were there.
I went to the gift shop to buy a large whale, and the woman tries to sell me a tote bag, which, you know, I'm obviously opposed. We're all opposed to tote bags. So I said, no, man, I'll just have a regular plastic bag. And she says, this is a conservatory. So you know what I did? I bought the freaking tote bag. You win. I'm not going to carry around a whale.
Congrats, sir. You got owned.
I got owned.
Wow. That's a... That is a ninja star
also,
of guilt.
They keep the dolphins in a tank the size of my apartment. Yes. It's not, you know.
I mean, the fact that
they're trying
to
build a new one.
The ones who have dolphins, it's always a moral question. Ugh, they're like elephants. It's like, can they ever really be happy in any way in captivity?
All right, biggest letdown by far, dolphins.
The dolphin show.
We saw yeah. dog shit.
So Dulcitory.
There's a woman there who's just telling us dolphin facts that are not interesting.
Some and dolphins are longer
than
other dolphins.
I felt bad for the
dolphins.
Yeah,
I gotta say.
This woman has this piece of fluff
this is
on
the
a
trick.
Fish wire.
It's like a rubber bat trying, on a string on a stick.
She's trying to engage her like you do with your cat to get him to bat at it, but
no,
she just,
you
the poor
were,
little guy just sat there.
You were too high to actually hear how depressing it actually was. So, they're trying to teach them to be able to survive in the wild, but because they've lived in a tank their whole life, they're not used to birds. So they would be, dolphins are supposed to look for
what?
Birds because that's where they're supposed to find food. And she says, we're trying to get them used to birds because if we sent them out into the wild right now, they would just be terrified of birds being overhead. So we're trying to, with this fake bird, acclimate them for a life in the wild because they've seen nothing but this dank ceiling.
And they're literally, wow. They have this bird on a string just smacking it up against the side of the tank
yeah.
while the dolphin looks on inside like... Could not be less interested in this.
Yeah.
So there's like a whole group of dolphins in this small tank, a whole pod of dolphins, a whole polypod of dolphins.
and the polycule.
They're not doing any tricks for us. And the woman says that...
They shouldn't do tricks, but also they should at least have a bigger tank.
Well, they should do tricks for me. I'm nice. And the woman says that these dolphins were born in this tank. This is all they've known.
Oh, man.
Which it's in my horrible. Mind means they don't know, they don't know how good the ocean is.
Like, yeah, no, they have no idea how great it is.
They're basically growing up in a Skinner box.
Yeah.
Yes.
Although, how great is, you go outside and, oh, yeah, I love being in the ocean until you hit one of the patches that's just dead, or you run into the Pacific garbage patch, or you get caught in a fucking tuna net, or you just swallow 500 pounds of garbage.
So would you go back if you saw the daylight, if you saw the ocean, you had that chance, would you be horrified by it and return
to
your
tank? This is like when old people try to like go back to jail after being released because yes. they can't handle the outside world. Oh. It's very sad.
Perhaps
it's very sad.
The most
I'm an institutional dolphin.
But jellyfish, very pro, don't have to feel bad about them. They don't have brains.
They do not have brains.
Perhaps it's the most unethical that we don't allow dolphins we've released into the wild to make the choice to come back.
Yeah, there should be just like an open door back to the tank.
Yeah, like
something.
A tunnel or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if they come back, then you
our
know
our door is always open.
I'm curious how many would come back and how many would leave. I think most would come back.
Yeah.
But some would leave.
Well, that's just a testament to how awful we've made their natural habitat. So high five for humanity.
We should give them a dolphin rumspringa and
yes.
just see how it turns out.
Feed them lots of meth.
My favorite animal was the turtle. It was a big old turtle. It was great.
That was fantastic. A huge turtle.
Didn't get to interact with it. That's
big
fine. It has its own agenda. That's okay. What's your favorite animal?
I have an animal. I don't know if I can say it's my favorite there because I've seen it a bunch of other places. It's called the look down, and I always call it the pie plate fish. And it looks like somebody took two pie plates and smashed them together and then put googly eyes on either side and turned it into a fish. It's like it has this metallic reflective sheen.
It looks
it's
like
uncanny.
A child made a fish.
It's
yeah.
uncanny. It looks like it's made of metal, and I love him. The look down.
It's called the look down fish because it's making a circle with its hand right at its pocket.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm told there was a sloth there. Everyone saw the sloth. I didn't see it.
We did see a sloth.
Oh, yeah.
We
it was hanging
a
from a roof.
I know that's
I saw two sloths because there was one near the exit that moved over right after you guys left.
They were doing, the aquarium was doing kind of a rainforest crossover, which, you know, doesn't sound canonical, but I think it was just an they had like fish from the rainforest or whatever, but I think it was just an excuse to get a sloth.
It was actually extremely dope. By the time we got up to the rainforest part is on the very top of the aquarium, and by the time we got up there, it was basically night, and it was like a lightning storm outside. So
we were in this
rainforest biome on the top of a building, inside a glass dome with a lightning storm going on outside.
We can hear the rain, but we're not getting rained on. Yeah. It was like being in a rainforest with none of the wet.
Yeah, looking straight up at a sloth hanging from the ceiling. Very dope.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
That sloth had the best view in the city.
Sloth-like turtle, I think, represents our show pretty well.
Absolutely.
And then we got the pit beef the next day.
Maximal cool.
Very slow animals.
We got the pit beef the next day. We went to like the place we were supposed to get it in the parking lot of a strip club.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Excellent pit interpretation beef of beef.
Yes.
It's like, if you've never heard of it, it's a Baltimore specialty, and it's kind of like barbecue, but really what it is imagine the Arby's roast beef sandwich.
Imagine
a platonic ideal of how that would be in the best possible world. Mm. And that's what it is.
It's
like
if Arby's
that
were
shaved
good,
roast beef, but it's all tender and succulent, and then there's like real horseradish and everything. It's
bunch
rules
of sauces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Baltimore was a blast. We did not find John Waters. We didn't really try that hard, to be fair.
You did try though, right?
I asked somebody. That's about it.
Right. I could find him.
Went to Edgar Allan Poe's grave and told him to suck it.
Well, we drove past it anyway.
I said, "Foe out of here, Edgar."
Saw their really terrifying Holocaust memorial.
Oh, yes.
It's a very metal Holocaust memorial.
Yeah.
It is grim. I saw it when I was in Baltimore years ago. I was just walking down the street and I'm like, oh, la, la, la. Why is there a giant burning ball of human corpses? That's what the statue is. It's
yeah, they went really
intense.
Literal with Holocaust.
Oh, very literal with Holocaust. Like, what is that? They went and looked it up. Oh, consume with fire. I'll just do that. It's fucking metal. And it, as we said at the show, it made us wonder, like,
what did Baltimore,
Baltimore
do?
Are you got a guilty conscience about this? What exactly did you do during World War II specifically?
Well, it's also like, as we were driving back, we went past like Dover, Delaware, advertised like the turnoff for the Dover 9/11 Memorial.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, Why here?
Why
we get that everybody's sad.
Why everywhere?
Was that? No, I was going to say, was that near where Flight 93 crashed? But it's not.
No, that was in Pennsylvania.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
No, just everyone wants a piece.
Yeah.
Everyone wants a piece of that sweet, sweet 9/11.
What did you do, Delaware? Where were you? Delaware got a phone call the day of 9/11 saying,
no,
don't
Delawareans
go
died on that day. Oh, my God. Wow, we're learning a lot today. We're learning about who did the Holocaust, Baltimore, and who did 9/11, the state of Delaware.
Well, wow. I mean, Baltimore was fun enough that I honestly forgot what we did in D.C. I remember we got Dindin and...
We had the Nando's bungle.
Oh, yeah.
Infuriating.
Nando's bungled our meal. And
just five people leaning over one quarter of a chicken. Like, a fucking depression.
And I guess we interacted with Wonks. So that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saw some Wonks, had some laughs. It's good. And we're very much looking forward to everything to come.
So we were disappointed. It's extraordinarily disappointed because when we were in D.C., there was supposed to be a Rick and Morty themed pop-up bar.
I'm actually genuinely annoyed with this. I was like looking forward
to it. We were ready to go probably both nights. The description of it sounded great. The bartenders were all supposed to be dressed like Mr. Meeseeks.
Yes. It was called the Wubba Lubba Dub Pub.
Excellent. Excellent.
Just genius. You know they've got a pickleback Rick to drink.
God, of course they do.
They probably got one of those drinks where they use the dry ice to make it make smoke come out of it.
Potion.
Oh, man. Different colors.
Serve some mixed drinks in an Erlenmeyer flask.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, gosh. It would rule. But these fucking jerks at Turner Broadcasting, these assholes. These corporate whores who run the Rick and Morty thing. Network, Adult Swim, say, no, you have to pay us more than you can afford to have this. And so they got to shut down.
That's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. That's art.
I mean, I will say that these people deserve to be ruthlessly punished for being so stupid they didn't think this would happen. But at the same
time, we're
very much of the Matt Groening school of, you know, copyright.
Yeah, let it go.
I mean, it's better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission.
And, but that's what happened. They tried it out first, and then they got torpedoed.
Well, you know, they did it. These were the same people who did the Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Pop-up, which was apparently just called Game of Thrones.
Dog shit.
Here's not the even trying.
I think that these very people got effort. Better as they went on, because the Game of Thrones, we looked it up because we were really fascinated by the idea when someone told us about this. I guess that's another DC thing that happened. And the drink names are not puns. It was just like, yo, here's a drink called the Mother of Dragons. Cool.
No, but Liz was telling us that apparently people used to dress up and get in line because that is what is cool in DC.
To cosplay your
dinner. To go to the Game of Thrones restaurant.
I mean, go to the fucking medieval times. Now, you get a real show there. You eat a Cornish game hen with your hands.
Sports
you mingle
ball.
With the hoi polloi, though. Yeah. You're not around your fellow wonks in faux fur.
Awful.
No, just go to any Renaissance fair.
No. Draw the line. Drawing the line.
I'm excited to dress up and reprise my adventure from last year at the Upstate Renaissance Fair at the end of this month.
It's Godspeed. Can I come?
Maybe.
You're going to get kicked out of a Renaissance Fair. We've thought about the most white trash headlines that we're both going to have, and I think Matt Crisman kicked out of Renaissance Fair is going to be yours, and mine is going to be
everything.
My unfortunate death at like a water park or something.
The thing is, Matt, the reason you would get kicked out of the Renaissance Fair is not for being like just too generally disorderly. It would be like yelling at things that were anachronistic.
I would be chill. I don't care. You guys want to mix up the genres and the eras, that's fine.
I think he would actually be
fine with that, and he would go the other way and become the antagonist and show up in a tracksuit and what he's wearing now.
You can go, but you have to dress up as a Star Trek guy and pretend that you have traveled through time or traveled to a primitive planet or something.
Yeah.
That's very canonical for Star Trek. There are a lot of primitive planets.
That sounds fun. I'll do that.
Anyway, so I want to do a pop-up bar.
Yes.
I think it's easy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you just like find a bar that sucks, and you just say, hey, your bar is terrible. Nobody goes here.
Yeah.
Let us do a thing for like a few weeks.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah, and then we throw in some props, get some themed cocktails.
Yes.
It would be fun to do just like a Chapo bar takeover for like a week.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Someone let us do that.
If only there was another local podcasting bar. Shout out to Stuart Wellington of Hinterlands. Maybe he'll let us take it as over.
Yeah.
We have the pun drinks. Yep. It would be about our interests.
The pun drinks at the
It would be a mess. It would be horrible.
Really
no one would agree on a theme, but it would be really fun, and they'd make a lot of money for that week.
It'd be a weird pastiche, and the bartenders would all, I don't know, they'd wear like baseball crank heads or something.
Yes, of course they would. They would wear baseball crank heads.
Would they have to speak in the voice?
Well, yes, they must. We'll have drinks like the, I don't know, hot couch toddy.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. What's another one?
Gamer fuel.
Gamer cum.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. That's a Stefan thing. What's our Twitch stream called?
Fuck you mean.
What does that mean?
Bird brain I am.
What does that mean?
Fuck you mean. It means when someone says something stupid or that angers you, you say, fuck you mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, what does bird brain I am mean?
I think that just sounds silly.
Okay.
I think they just like the silly sound of it.
I don't know. Let's just do rage comic themed drinks. Meme themed drinks from 10 years ago.
Give me two Derpinas, please.
Yes. Yes. I don't know. Is this bit going to go on?
I'm trying to think of another one, but I'm losing it. I can't think of one.
I have like a whole list of Chapo references somewhere, but I don't want to cheat.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I have a whole list of a visual brainstorm list of just all the things I could
you
think of.
You take your job way more seriously than we take our jobs.
Yeah, well, somebody has to.
Are you maintaining our wiki? TV Tropes page?
Yes.
Hey, can
no,
you...
I have never posted to the wiki or the TV Tropes page.
Can you post... We have a YouTube channel, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure I didn't make that up.
Can you post
that video I took of Matt?
Which
watching
one?
He's my Edie Sedgwick. I take a lot of videos of him. But the one of him leaning and staring glassy-eyed at the jellyfish with the prog rock playing in the background.
Yes, send it to me, and I'll post a jelly compilation of Matt.
Do we have a Snapchat?
No.
But nobody uses Snapchat
anymore.
Do we
have a Finsta? Do we have a private ludes account?
No. We don't have a...
We got to get on that. That's social media 101 right
that's
there.
That's true. Do we have
make a music lead.
Do we have a Chatterbait room?
I'm pretty sure Current Affairs has a ludes private.
Oh, snap.
Give me a High Life and two of the Trader Goulons.
It's pretty good.
Now I got to think of it. Well, I mean, I'm having trouble thinking what drinks are called. I'm tired. There's a rum and coke. That's one. Stormy. Oh,
well, we did all the ones in the book release. And those
yeah.
Are funny.
Let's just do that again. No. Let's make it the Resistance theme bar.
Oh yes,
because we already have those.
That would actually
names.
Be.
Oh
yeah.
Right. So we do an ironic Resistance theme bar.
No, it's not ironic. We join the Resistance, and we contact like all the weird grifter guys, like Funder and the Krasensteins.
Yeah,
and we say this is a serious bar, and we'd love for you to be a VIP, show up, and bring your.
The Krasenstein Stein of Ale.
Krasenstein of Ale.
That's pretty good.
Are probably listening to this right now. So
yes.
If you asked them, they would come.
Yeah, okay. Hey, fellas. we need you to come and command your followers to come to this Resistance bar. All the money, all the profits will go to, I don't know, Joe Biden's exploratory committee. What the fuck are these people giving their money to? A children's book that yes. has Donald Trump being gay and... that has the hot Mueller. And
pay for gym membership for Robert Mueller.
Oh, are they doing like billboards with like a hammer and sickle and like Trump fuck this
yes,
guy.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, no, they're all over the place now. It says GOP, but the O is the Soviet star.
Got him.
That's red.
There's probably been, you know, I'm just thinking of just like these like viral resistance people and the various things they've raised money for. It's definitely in the millions for just... cockamamie schemes.
Oh God, yeah, absolute gibberish.
The total economy of the hashtag resistance probably. What,
oh, remember when they
million?
Fucking kicked in $500,000 for Michael Cohen's defense fund?
Oh,
just
God.
Gave Lanny Davis $500,000.
That's
for nothing.
Baffling.
Genuinely
for nothing.
Baffling.
Because it was going to make him tell the truth or something.
I get it when they give money to like McCabe or something. I mean, that's also stupid. But it's like, okay, you like the guy. You gave $500,000 to Michael Cohen?
Well, I like the imagination that there's like a one of those paper thermostats in an office somewhere for a fundraiser, and if you just get it filled up all the way with red marker, the
Trump
top
just
is,
resigns.
Is truth.
He just boop. He goes, folks, they hit the top of the thermostat, okay? I have to resign.
What else did they do? Oh, yeah, they raised a bunch of money to protest in front of the White House.
Yes, oh my God, a pachinko machine raised another six-figure sum just to have people standing in front of the White House with Christmas lights.
Wasn't the idea with that one that if you couldn't be there in person, you could give him money?
Yes,
and, like,
exactly. You'd like buy a virtual spot at the rally.
I like the idea of getting into the age of virtual protests where it's just like in some virtual space, there's like a place where avatars... like Sims are mingling in front of someplace and you can just buy a Sim to mingle there mm-hmm. and that's your protest.
Oh, okay. So speaking of grifts, have you heard of this app? I can't remember the name of it, but the gist is you can pay celebrities to
yes.
do a personalized
I read an article
message.
About that. That is fucking grim.
Yes.
Okay.
What are the celebrities?
Like
it's
very
a ton.
D-list. And
well, then it's cool.
Yes.
Yeah. If they're D-list, I'm on board.
You can get like a member of the Vanderpump Rules to say, hey, Amber, you're great in a little video.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I know whoever I get for Secret Santa, you're getting that.
Yeah.
yeah. It's called Cameo.
Cameo. Right, right, right. And who's on Cameo?
It says there's over 1,400 athletes, musicians, social media influencers.
There aren't that many celebrities.
And more.
Hang on. I'm going to log on to it. Continue.
I'm on it right now. And I'm looking at who they've got. All right, Dennis Rodman.
Yes. $200. I'm going to have him big up to
$200.
North Korea.
Now it's $1,000 for a video with Dennis Rodman.
Wow. Yeah.
Ugh, come on.
There's another article that had more of the people.
If I recall Amanda Hess wrote a large profile of this for The Times.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. I found it.
What the fuck? Where do I buy the Cameo?
Oh, no, I found it. I found talent. It. All right, okay. I'm on here. All right. Nikki Blonsky.
Nikki Blonsky, Perez Hilton.
Gary Busey's... Oh, wait a minute. No.
Quiz Daddy's on here. How much for a Quiz Daddy one?
Yeah, Quiz Daddy.
How much does it cost? Where's the?
It varies. That's what's so amazing. It's you put a literal price tag on your worth as a celebrity because it's all they name their own prices. So for example, Misha Barton, $75 for a video.
That feels low.
NFL Hall of Famer Terrell Owens, $350. Lance Bass, $125.
Those two seem accurate.
Marla
Maples.
Ooh, who are these? Real Housewives, Nikki Blonsky, Perez Hilton.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm not seeing prices on here.
Dina Lohan.
Ooh.
Classic.
Where are the prices? God damn it.
Oh, the guy from John and 8 plus 8, or John and Kate plus 8.
John?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rebecca Black from the Friday video.
Oh, my God. Wow.
$30.
$30? No.
To get a video from the Rebecca Black.
Oh, God, let's do it right now.
Yeah, can we get her to say, Rebecca Black, to say you're listening to Chapo Trap House? Get it by the end of this recording?
Yeah.
Yeah. Put it in. Buy one, please. One Rebecca Black, please. Yeah. I don't know. Can we make them say demeaning things?
No.
I think they have limits on what they'll say explicitly.
I mean, to be fair, promoting our show is probably demeaning.
That's what I meant. I meant, I listen to Chapo Trap House all the time. It's where I get my information.
It's where I get my news and hot takes on culture and comedy.
Okay, anyway, we'll buy the Rebecca Black thing, but here's my idea. We should all go on it. We should all make a Cameo account and sell ourselves.
People would definitely buy shit from you guys.
I'm curious who the top earner would be. I kind of think it's Felix.
Probably. He's got the most followers, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, he would be the Camboy Supreme.
Well, because he posts a lot of videos, too.
Yeah, no, they love it. His thirst traps are unparalleled.
Wouldn't say unparalleled, but all right.
He gets a lot of action for those thirsts. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, do we set our own prices?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to set mine for 1,000 and just...
You can. The guy, the real life, the Wolf of Wall Street guy, Jordan Belfort, he does it for 1,000. Presumably nobody has paid that.
Yeah, nobody knows.
No one cares. Yeah.
He's basically just waiting because it doesn't cost him anything not to do it. So he's just waiting for the day when one rich asshole as a joke decides to do it. And then it's been worth the whole time.
I thought it was marketed as an economy. So the more in demand you were, the more in price.
No, they set their own prices.
Mm. Well, that sucks. They should do it like that. So it assigns a numerical value to your alt of fame.
No, I'll set mine for 50,000 and just rely on Ed Zitron to buy one. And like, that's it. And I made my VIG for the year.
It's like those, it's like those casinos, those high end boutiques, you know, like Dior or something. There's three people standing there. There's no one ever in there. But if one person goes in there and buys one handbag, they've made their monthly rent.
Yeah, but I feel like, no, there's just no way that it would end well. Like if I did it, even if I set it at 50,000, there would be a bunch of Comptown fans that would pool all their money to get me to say the N-word.
Wait. You wouldn't say the N-word for 50,000.
I would feel I don't like the idea of that kind of direct service economy that someone can make me do things.
Yeah,
for
it's a little demeaning. No, thanks.
I think it's immoral to say no because you could give that $50,000 to a worthy charity.
Yeah, would you?
Would I?
Yeah.
Well, no, I keep the money. I'm just saying. Well, but I would say yes.
He'd spend it on Juul.
As a Chapo historian, I do want to point out that basically the very first riff of the very first episode of the show is what if Superman had to say the N-word to save the world?
Oh, God, is this the last episode? Is this like Seinfeld going back to the original?
Time is a flat circle.
But yeah, I mean, I'd say it for $5,000. I don't think I'd go that much lower. Well, also, I would contextualize it.
Will you do a reading of Huckleberry Finn?
I prefer honest work, like what we do here.
Yes.
Yeah. In my living room.
Ah, honest work.
no, thank you.
How are we on time?
39 minutes.
All right. Let's do it like Come Town. Just like don't edit this. Just leave in all the parts where we're like, are we done yet? All right. How much more crap do we have to do?
Let's start playing the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Ooh.
How's your streak going, Virgil?
15.
15?
Streak of 15. Almost snapped by the Thursday puzzle, which I started doing when I was high, and then I woke up, and I'm still doing it, and it took an hour. But I managed to like find whatever error I made.
See, when I'm high, my vocabulary retention goes way up, but my ability to interpret things like sarcasm completely goes away.
I will say one of my favorite moments of the first leg of tour has been being up with Virgil watching Gran Torino.
Okay.
Yeah. The which is a truly ridiculous movie, which deserves a rewatch as it is. It seems like a text point zero for
it's,
for,
it's weird
MAGA
that
culture.
It wasn't made 80 years ago.
Or literally this year.
Well, let me set the scene. Usually at this, we watch a few movies, usually at this hour. Chris and I are up. Matt is asleep on the couch, snoring loudly.
He's hot couching.
Amber's gone to bed, and Felix is in the other room playing Fortnite and screaming at it. So every like
for
5 minutes
or
so
or
is punctuated with him yelling at, I presume, an 8-year-old.
Yes.
Yeah.
God, just screaming at children. The fucking lag in this fucking house. I hope we have a fucking better ping in the next one.
No, he really needs to get over the lag issue. He needs to either move to South Korea or just
not
get over
the
it.
Lag. He just needs the lag because he needs
it.
An excuse for losing.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. So he needs to get over it. Just accept losing as part of life.
But my favorite part about the Gran Torino was the addendum the next day when we were in one of our various discussions about how the world is spiraling into chaos. And I think Matt brought up that you might consider rebranding as a gun guy. Virgil, you were like, oh, yeah, I think I might do that, too. And everyone was like, what the fuck gun would you ever do? Immediately, Tech Nine.
Yeah, like the heroes in Gran Torino, the ones who killed that awful racist man committing hate crimes around the neighborhood.
Yes.
Who got rid of that plague.
I just think I think you with a Tech Nine is a very funny image to me.
So, well, like this movie comes at a certain point where, one, he can't say the N-word in it, so he just uses like weirder racial slurs each
it's
time.
It's a menagerie of...
Yeah,
of
they really avoided the obvious...
The source ground into the only possible slurs for Asian people that you can put into a movie.
And then a lot of it is him waving a gun at minorities or pointing his finger at them and threatening them. And... I just kept thinking, this movie came out in what?
Like 2008, 2009?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you did that movie today, he would just be straight murdering them over and over again. And the audience would be primed to think, oh, well, he was justified each time.
Yeah, it's a half
I
step away from being a weird MAGA Death Wish.
No, but I don't think so, because think about how poorly Death Wish holds up.
I never saw Death Wish.
Oh, you should. It's insane.
Is it the same kind of deal?
Yeah.
It's like a Bernie Getz movie?
It's just, it's not the, I mean, for Gran Torino, it's been a while, but I remember the moral kind of being minorities are dangerous, but some of them are women.
And some of them will help you.
So it's woke.
Some of them will help you fix your roof. And
well, some of them will help you spite your children that you hate for no reason.
And some of them will prove the pussy priests in your district wrong.
Yeah.
I did like the priest, which is a totally useless priest who was an asshole. And Gran Torino. Yeah.
It's okay, a strange movie.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Here was a lighting part. When he takes the kid around... to meet other racist white people, and they're just calling each other racial slurs all the time, which reminded me of that white like me SNL skit where Eddie Murphy's just, oh, white people give each other things, and if you did that, it's just, oh, white people are just racist when they're with other white people, and you see him, he meets like an Irish guy, and says, how are you doing, you old dumb Mick, and the Irish guy, oh, well, about as fine, you drunk Polack. And the message is clear that no racial slurs are fine because there's ones for white people too.
It's amazing.
Well, I mean, I'm a very big fan, and I brought this up in the car, of the movie I always turn to is Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, which is an amazing movie which could never be made today, and it's just about three drag queens who may or may not fall under the rubric of transgender by today's standards, but they are recognized as drag queens within the movies, just being racist to each other, and they're super friends forever. It's an amazing movie.
So you like more racial pet names?
Yeah, I just think that there's a way to be affectionate and mean to someone. In fact, I don't really know of any other way to be affectionate to someone, so I'm sticking by it.
Well, I mean, that's how our show works. I mean, we're when we talk about, you know, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, we're being affectionate but mean to our friends.
They're our guys.
When we support and love.
Mm-hmm. the meaner we are, the more affection. I was just going to say about Gran Torino, it's amazing that Clint Eastwood's previous movies, 2 years earlier,
were the duo of Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima, which were praised, Oscar-worthy praised for like humanizing this conflict in World War II, this ground zero of American racial resentment for the Japanese, praised for humanizing both sides and seeing how war changes and affects people. And Clint Eastwood walks away from that and he's like, yes, now I've got my blank check to do my Asian racism movie.
We need to convince Clint Eastwood to make another Gran Torino, to reboot Gran Torino. And I just to see what his vision is now, 10 years on.
Yes.
Because I swear to God, it's going to be Walt or Walt Standin just murdering athletes who kneel for the flag. Just 50 straight minutes of that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. That's definitely the trajectory we're on.
Well, I really want us to see and report back on the Jennifer Garner movie where she fights MS-13 as a vigilante because they killed her family.
Peppermint.
Yeah. What the most bullshit ass.
So basically, she's one of those angel families that Trump talks about who lost people to illegal immigrant
angel
murders.
Angel families?
Yeah, they call them angel families.
What the fuck?
They're trying to invent a new thing for Gold Star, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a Gold Star mother thing for if you're illegal, killed your kid. Yeah. It's fucked up. It's crazy propaganda.
Yeah.
That movie
looks incredibly racist, and I think we should see it.
If one of those angel mothers decided to get even.
Yeah.
Take the law into her own hands.
She's going to grow out her mom cut. She's going to work out. She's going to do pull-ups.
Yeah.
It's going to be like in Terminator 2 when she's in the insane asylum doing pull-ups on the bed.
She apparently lives in the streets and they're like she's supposed to be Batman basically, and they're like, why do you think there's no crime in this terrible neighborhood full of, you know? And it's because she roams the streets or whatever.
It's because the local Chardonnay mother put down her
Chardonnay. The local Chardonnay mother.
And picked up an AR.
That reminds me, we had this revelation watching Gran Torino that one of the prefigurations of Trump was 2012 RNC, where Charlton Heston, or not Charlton Heston, fuck.
Clint Eastwood.
Right, because Charlton Heston had died right then or something, right?
Yeah, he was
dead.
He
died too soon to see his beautiful vision come true.
So, yes, he came. Oh, Clint Eastwood went on stage at the RNC and talked to an empty chair that was supposed to have Obama in it. And he just sort of looked to him and said,
painful.
What's going on? Why are you screwing up so bad? Why are we still in Afghanistan? You jerk. And the audience is hooting and hollering for it.
And all the people in the media, you know.
Including myself. I wasn't in the media, but I thought it was embarrassing.
They laughed at it. They said, this is a big disaster and
it's
embarrassment for the Romney
campaign. For American
campaign.
Political discourse.
No, I mean, it is embarrassing because where are his grandchildren to be like, you know, he's a little confused right now.
Yeah, no, it was brutally awful that they did that. And the thing is that we all thought it was embarrassing. And you know, it didn't help, I'm sure. You know, it's not.
I don't think it hurt.
He lost, but it didn't help either. It didn't do anything. But we all thought it was just this embarrassing anomaly. And now our politics have been totally absorbed by the empty fucking chair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. If you'd done that 4 years on, Clint Eastwood would just run for president and just go to every event with an empty chair.
That
just
was
do
a
the chair
huge
stick.
Part of the news cycle when it happened. Now no one would notice.
Yeah. Oh, God, no one would notice.
Now
we're
all
fucking kidding?
Sitting in the chair.
Yeah. Like you talk about like a cheesy thing like that. When Pat Buchanan was running for president, he would dress up like America's daddy. He'd wear like a sweater, and I remember seeing a press conference he did where there's a set of a small American home, like a dining room with doilies and teacups and crap like that, and he's just sitting there, avuncular. And that was, I don't know, I guess that's for anyone who's senile and thinks, oh, he's going to bring back that nice room we were all in the 50s.
John Birch, Mr. Rogers.
Basically, yes. Yeah, that's exactly it. Which is, how are we doing on time?
We're at 50.
All right.
Hey, Felix, what's going on?
Can you
look,
Felix,
everybody, it's Felix.
Hey, look who walked in.
What's going on?
Well, I mean, we talked about this on our WhatsApp, but we were going to record content before we left. At 1:30.
I thought you were doing this Cynthia Nixon interview. That's why.
No, that's different.
Oh.
Okay, Felix, we got 10 minutes to kill. Can you explain why you like these Twitch streamers that none of us know about?
I like.
All right. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
I like human excellence.
I like all forms of competition, but I only like fringe competition because all other sports are polluted by the same corrosive cancer that goes through the rest of our culture. The NFL is dirty. The NBA is dirty. The MLB is dirty. Hockey is dirty. All of it's dirty. Polo's dirty. The only pure sports are MMA, boxing, kickboxing, and now esports. And those are the only things where you can see unadulterated excellence.
What do you mean by dirty? Like corrupt?
Yeah.
Like there's no corruption in MMA.
There is, but it's nice.
It's. I just don't. I mean, are these guys charismatic?
A few of them.
It seems like every week I read a story that some guy you talked about got banned for saying the N-word.
No. None of my guys got banned for saying the N-word.
Or saying a racial slur.
He didn't think he was saying a racial slur. Tfue.
What did he think he was doing?
Okay, well, he's like a hick. He meant raccoon.
I find that hard to believe.
Why? Why? You don't even know his spirit or his character.
What was the context?
I believe Tfue.
Yeah, I believe Tfue.
I believe Tfue. I stand with Tfue.
Yeah, I stand
with Je suis Tfue.
I stand with streamer excellence and pro gamer visibility.
So, I don't know. How's Fortnite?
I won a lot yesterday. It was pretty cool. It proves how much peripherals matter because I was on my desktop.
Murdered so many children.
No, I was definitely playing adults. Definitely.
Do you think at some point it's going to get old?
Yeah. Everything does. Yeah. Everything in your life gets old after, you know, like a long time, like 24 months, and then it loses its sense of novelty, and then you spend too much time with yourself, and then you find the next thing, and your life is just, you're like Spider-Man. You're going from building to building, but you're going from thing to thing, looking for a new sense of novelty, and you do that, you know, by my math, about 30 more times before I die, and then that's your life, and it's okay.
You managed to get away from yourself. You effectively escaped yourself the whole time.
Right.
Never caught up with you.
Right. Or, you know, you could stay in one thing and keep convincing yourself that it's good. And that's the other way to live your life. And you only have to do one of those, but you have to do that for like 60 years. But if you're good at that one too, you know, there are two ways to play life. There's my way and there's the other way. Or you can become religious, but I haven't really figured out the math for that one.
I played Donut County the other day. It's fun.
Our friend made that.
Wait, really? Who?
Some fucking guy. That my friends know that I don't know. Tell people I know him.
It was good. It's a good indie game. I highly recommend it. It's a quick playthrough. So there you go. That's the Steam report.
Yeah, I don't support indie games or movies. If they were really good, they would be made by a major studio. It's like I have to spend most of my time figuring out the next thing I'm going to go to in 2 years, and I can't really be juggling through a bunch of independent creations. It's major studios for everything that I consume.
Well, I still want us to make an indie game. I mean, like, we wouldn't make it. Like, some guy would make it. But
so we make a Twine game?
Some company? No. Like, a company would make the game.
I would only allow DICE Entertainment to make the game, makers of Battlefield, because I would want it to be an intense 128-player first-person experience.
No, it would be like a point-and-click Sam & Max type game.
Absolutely not.
That would be fun, and we'd be in it. We could do the voice acting. We could write it.
Those games are done. It's going to be 128 players. It's going to be team versus team. It's just going to be actually Battlefield 3, but you do like Ross Dude Hat or something.
You solve puzzles?
Hey, everybody. Will is here.
Oh, my goodness.
You solve puzzles in an FPS game. It's like, where do I put my gun on my enemy?
Jesus Christ.
Okay, there can be part of the game that's just killing. That's a battle royale. Sam and Max Battle Royale would be my log line
now,
for this game.
What about Puzzle Royale? You land on an island and you have to find pieces of a puzzle.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, and you have to, like, it's Captain Dan themed, and you have to do pirate raps. You have to do epic rap battles of history to get the other players' puzzle.
It's a Parappa Battle Royale.
Yeah.
I still want to do a baby games Twitch where I play, like, Donkey Kong Country. You know?
Matt, don't say it. But no, I would love to play Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong games.
What if we do a Twitch stream of literal games for 2-year-olds? Like, that just, it's,
that's what
it just colors and shapes
is.
And that's it.
I at least acknowledge that's what I like.
It's for babies. As we discovered, it's for literal pre-verbal babies.
Matt doesn't play games since he lost like a Pac-Man competition in 1985 and was like, you Hyperborean bog fuck! And he's like, oh, I can't touch these anymore. He's like, Matt's like one of those Kennedys who like took too much Ambien and drove directly into like the Staten Island ferry and was like, actually, you know what? No medical marijuana. No one should have it because I can't handle it. No one else should have
it. Matt hates video games because he's recovering from his dark past of being obsessed with backgammon. And
Matt had a heated gaming moment during a game of tetherball in 1992.
hey gang, I'm here. Are we talking Philly? We ready to go? Get on this train?
Yeah.
Yes. Train boys.
Boys.
I've prepared a reading series that I hope we're going to dive into right now. It's from The Economist, and it's called This Graph Says Some Interesting Things.
Ooh,
let's go.
All right. First of all, sight unseen, I would love to kill this author with a gun.
All right, I think we got enough.
Yeah, I got it. Oh, one last thing. We could be a freemium app like the Kim Kardashian game that was successful.
Oh, well, let's get Kate Upton to be in the commercials and be like, are you ready to win a game of Fire Throne Age?
Come game, my lord.
Yeah. Yo, me and my cousin got so good at Game of Fire Throne Age that Kate Upton came to our house and fucked us.
Is that it for content? Yeah.
That'll be out today. We'll fucking unlock the DC live show. We'll release this bullshit.
Just a shotgun blast of content.
Something will hit. A little something for everyone.
Yeah. All right,
how did it go?
Fine. Sorry. A little weird.
I hope you guys like aquarium talk.
A little weird.
Okay.
You guys talked about the aquarium with Cynthia Nixon?
Yes. Did you guys talk about Cynthia Nixon? No, we didn't talk about Cynthia Nixon. We talked
to Cynthia Nixon.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Oh, that went great.
Oh, yeah, that was very, very good. How many people were on it?
Just
me.
Just me.
Oh, okay.
We got about...
Thanks for holding it down, guys.
That's 17 minutes.
Amber, how long is the food going to take?
Oh, yeah, we got to
leave.
Yeah, I know, we got to leave in like 10.